sole. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's very great favor upon each and every one of us that we have been given the tawfiq and the ability to gather on the nisbat of deen. These gatherings in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam equated them to the gardens of Jannah. إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا. Told the Sahaba that when you pass by the gardens of Jannah, then graze therein. Sahaba said, وَمَا رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. That, O Nabi of Allah, what are the gardens of Jannah? He said, حِلَقُ الذِّكَرِ, the gatherings in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we look at his seerah, as we were listening earlier about the battle of Uhud, one very great emphasis that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed, and which in fact was the khususiyat of this ummah, is this ihtimam and link that was created with the masjid. If you look at the previous ummats, they would have what we call soma, sometimes inside a tree, sometimes in a cave. They would have places in which they would make ibadat on an individual basis. But this emphasis and the importance of linking and attaching every reciter of kalima to the masjid, we find is the khususiyat of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, this link and association with the masjid, with salah, with jamaat, this in fact is such a stressed practice of Islam that Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions, مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَلْقَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى غَدًا مُسْلِمًا فَلْيُحَافِظْ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ حَيْثُ يُنَادَى بِهِنَّ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَرَعَ لِنَبِيِّكُمْ سُنَنَ الْهُدَى وَإِنَّهُنَّ مِنْ سُنَنِ الْهُدَى. He said, any one of you that wants to meet Allah tomorrow on the Day of Judgment as a person who died on Iman, as a Muslim. Yesterday in the morning, one of our satis, he was giving targheeb at some time in the day, and he mentioned one statement. He said, leave this world with iman, die with iman. That is the crux. Achieve that and you've achieved everything. Lose that and you've lost everything. There's no greater loss than that. And we were given one nuskha and one prescription. You want to meet Allah with iman, you want to leave this world with iman, you want to leave this world in a condition of belief. Then Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala who said that be absolutely meticulous about guarding your five times salah with jamaat. فَلْيُحَافِظْ عَلَىٰ هَوْلَىٰي صَلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ حَيْثُ يَنَادَى بِهِنَّا. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for your Nabi certain practices of hidayat. That hidayat is linked to this. And this is one of those practices. And then Abdullah bin Mas'ud goes on to say that if you will not adhere to this, then there is a very real possibility that you will go astray. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Inna awwala bayt, Inna awwala bayt, wudhi'a lin-nas lalladhi bi-bakkata mubaraka wa hudan lil-alamin. On the one hand, this verse describes Ka'batullah. On the other hand, in this verse, there are certain promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are directly and intrinsically linked to masjid. And ulama say that those promises which are mentioned in this verse are not specific to Ka'batullah. But wherever on the earth a masjid will be established, then like a wiring connection, when you have your powerhouse, then through wires, through circuitry, the power is connected sometimes to great, great distances away from the powerhouse. So they say in the same way, there is almost a link and a connection of every masjid with Ka'batullah. In this sense, that what Allah has promised on that masjid, wherever there will be a masjid, the same promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will apply as long as the haq and the right of the masjid is fulfilled. So coming back to this verse, Inna awwala bayt wudhi'a lin-nas, Allah says the first house placed on the surface of this earth, wudhi'a lin-nas. Quran uses ajib terminology, wudhi'a lin-nas. You don't place a house, you build a house. And Quran says wudhi'a lin-nas. Explanation of this Mufassirin give is that the construction of Ka'batullah did not take place by men. Allah sent down malaika to first build the Ka'batullah. Lalladhi bibakka, Allah says geographically it's located in Makkah Mukarramah. Mubarakan wa hudan lil alamin, in it is barakah and blessings, and in it is hidayat for the entire alam. Ibrahim alayhi salam's reconstruction of Ka'batullah is specifically highlighted in the Quran. And at that time he raised his hands in dua. Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in inda baytika al-muharram. Rabbana liyuqimu as-salah فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. This dua when he was commanded to leave his family in Makkah Mukarramah. And then other duas are mentioned in Surah Baqarah that Ibrahim alayhi salam made. The crux of it, Allah has promised barakat, Allah has promised hidayat, Allah has promised the thamarat and barakat of the whole world. Allah Ta'ala has promised protection. And in the history of Ka'batullah, we see this. Zamzam was risk and sustenance for the entire humanity right up till Qiyamah. In the destruction of the army of Abraha was the sending down of the Malaika. In other words, the protection that is linked to the masjid. So barakat, hidayat, thamarat, protection, all this Allah has linked with the masjid. And Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such was the ihtimam of masjid that when he made hijrat, the first stop was Quba. Famous riwayat is 14 days. There is even one riwayat of 4 days. He stayed at the home of Kulsum bin Hadam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Like I said, the more mashhur riwayat is 14 days. Such a short sojourn, just a stopping point on the way to Medina Munawwara. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? He established a masjid. That masjid which the Quran tells us, La masjidun ussisa la taqwa min awwali yawm ahaqqu an takuma fi. Medina Munawwara, masjid. That also, there are certain riwayat which describe the pinpointing of the Qibla of Masjid al-Nabawi. I'm digressing. Uqba bin Nafi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Up till today in northern Africa, There is Masjid Uqba bin Nafi' in Kahrawan. This Jamaat that had reached Northern Africa, there were 19 Sahaba in that Jamaat. Uqba bin Nafi' radiallahu ta'ala, there was a jungle populated with carnivores, with lions, scorpions, snakes, etc. that would be harmful. When the Ummat was on his maqsad and object, that's a separate topic, I'm not going into the details. He gathers these 19 Sahaba, companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nahnu junudullah, we are the army of Allah. Ayyuhas sibaa wal aqarib. He addresses the animals of the jungle, addresses the snakes and the scorpions, that we have come in the path of Allah to establish Allah's deen. So we are instructing you that within 3 days we want you to abandon this jungle. إِنَّكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَظْهَرْ فِيكُمْ سَكْرَتَانِ سَكْرَةُ الْجَهَلِ وَسَكْرَةُ حُبِّ الْعَيْشِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. When this ummah was fulfilling its objective of da'wat and tabligh, then Rasulullah said, you are on a bayyina, you are on a clear proof from your Rabb. Allah will put the entire kainat into your service. So within 3 days, history bears witness, the jungle was emptied of animals. And then what did Sahaba do? They established a masjid. This was the first time Northern Africa, up till today, Masjid Uqba bin Nafi is there in Kahrawan. Established a masjid, such is the distance from Madinah Munawwara, now the concern, the Qibla. That time they didn't have GPS, satellite, they didn't even have compasses. So various riwayat are mentioned, but this fikr and concern, mashwara was made, Uqba bin Nafi radiallahu ta'ala, and goes to sleep with this fikr, and in his dream, he makes ziyarat of Rasulullah. Man ra'ani fil manam, faqad ra'ani, fa'inna shaytana la yatamathalu fi surat. Rasulullah said, the one who saw me in a dream definitely saw me, because shaitan cannot take my form. And we find in hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that ru'ya saliha, truthful, pious dreams, this is mubashirat, this is of the glad tidings from Allah for my ummah. One narration, it comes, it is 146th of nubuwat. So the crux of it, in that dream, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guides him that tomorrow at the time of Fajr, take a certain flag, place it on your shoulder, you will hear the sound of takbir. Follow that sound till you reach a certain point where the sound stops. That will be your Qibla. So this level of ihtimam, that he was rahmatul lil alameen, he was a mercy to humanity, head to toe mercy. When Allah describes him, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, we sent you as nothing but mercy. Allah describes himself, Allah's sifat are eternal, Allah's sifat and attributes are limitless. And two of the sifat which are mentioned amongst the various other sifat, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ, Allah says, verily your Rabb is Ra'uf and Rahim, compassionate and kind and merciful. Allah singles out these two sifat. Allah is Ra'ufur Rahim for every creation. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Quran, bil mu'minina Ra'ufur Rahim. Bil mu'minina Ra'ufur Rahim. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so far as his ummah is concerned, is Ra'uf and Rahim. Very, very compassionate and very merciful. And yet, he who head to toe was mercy, what does he say? لَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ أَنْ آمُرَ فِتْيَتِي فَيَجْمَعُوا لِي حُزْمًا مِّنْ حَطَبْ ثُمَّ آتِي قَوْمٍ يُصَلُّونَ فِي بُيُوتِهِمْ فَأُحَرِّقُهَا لِي. He said, I wanted To put someone else, I'm not giving literal translation, I'm explaining the hadith. He said, I wanted to put someone else on my musalla at the time of Jamaat. And I wanted to order the youth of Medina to gather firewood. And then I would patrol the streets of Medina to find which home any sahabi of mine, any sahabi is not coming to the masjid. And Muhammad says, I will burn down that home. Despite being Raufur Rahim, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, this was the extent that it would hurt him if the Ummah distanced itself from the masjid. The time of Rasulullah, there was no courthouse. Courthouse was masjid. There was no office. Office was masjid. There was no post office. Post office was masjid. There was no meeting room or boardroom. Meeting room, boardroom was masjid. Everything was masjid. He linked and attached the Ummah to the masjid. Such a place, masjid, every line of distinction between the Ummah breaks down in the masjid. You can have 6 or 7 zeros in your bank balance, or you don't have a roof over your head. You can be the prime minister, or you can be a pauper. In the masjid, everyone is equal. Such a system was set up. It's mentioned, I'm digressing, amongst the Banu Umayyad dynasty, very famous Khalifa was Harun Rashid. Such a kingdom Allah gave him that when he would see a rain cloud, he would say, "Umturi haythu shi'at wa sayujba ilayya kharajuki." Rain wherever you want, the produce of your rain will be in the kingdom of Harun. Three continents, one ruler. Baghdad to Kashmir, Baghdad to Portugal, Baghdad to southern France, Baghdad to North Africa. Such a vast kingdom. Just a little bit of background. Amongst the famous students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was Abu Yusuf. His name, actual name was Yaqub. Very poor family. His father used to wash clothes for a living. He used to frequent the majlis of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi to acquire the knowledge of deen. So his mother became upset one day that if my son is going to spend his time acquiring the knowledge of deen only and is not going to pursue some livelihood and some means of earning, then what's going to happen to him? So it's historically mentioned that she came to the majlis of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi one day, complaining to him. Like how we say in Gujarati, parwato ho gaya. He's just wasting his time. You keeping him here, he's not doing any earning. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi reassured his mother very respectfully. He said, Allah has put it in my heart that I can see your son. The crux of what he said. Eating faluda. Faluda at that time was something very a special dish. Faluda from containers made out of pearl in the court of kings. So the mother of Imam Abu Yusuf, when she heard this, she got more irritated. She said, "What? You've lost your marble," she's telling Imam Abu Hanifa, the crux of it. "You're putting all these ideas in my son's head." But this was that, what we call where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ittaqu firasat al-mu'min, fa innahu yanduru bi nurillah." That fear, that inner perception, wisdom and understanding that Allah blesses a person with true iman because he looks with the nur of Allah. This was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi's basirat. That he was reassuring her, don't be concerned by your son serving Allah's deen. Who is he serving? He's serving Razaq. He's serving the one who provides. Allah will open the door of sustenance for him. Coming back, this was just a little bit of background. Very poor family, no status. One day Harun Rashid, in a fit of rage, the Khalifa, amongst his wives, the one who he had the most love for, he got angry. And he told her that by tomorrow morning, by daybreak tomorrow, if you are in the kingdom of Harun, 3 talaqs. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm digressing, taking a little bit of extra time, it's a Sunday. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cautioned us about anger. Sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Oh, Sini, ya Rasulullah, Nabi of Allah, give me advice." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La taghdab." This "la taghdab" literal translation means don't become angry. Technically, that translation is incorrect. Allama Ghazali rahimahullah mentions in his kitab, he says to tell somebody don't become angry is illogical, because Allah has made human beings such that anger is part of our nature. And to expect someone at the time of anger not to become angry is to consider him to be a donkey. So la taghdab doesn't mean don't become angry. Don't give in to the dictates of anger. Control your anger. This is what Shariat advocates. Wal kadhimin al ghayz, swallow the anger. We learn from riwayat that anger is from shaitan. And shaitan was made from fire. That's why when a person becomes angry, his cheeks become red and his eyes become red. So that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us, don't make any decision at the time of anger. He said, if you are standing, sit. If you are sitting, lie down. Now ask ourselves, many of us say, Maito ashika Rasulu, I love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any time did we sit down when we became angry? Any time did we lie down when we became angry? Anger is from fire. What puts fire out? Allah, what makhluk is stronger than fire? Water. So what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us? When you become angry, make wudu. One jamaat met one person in one jail. Asked him, by how long sentence you got? He said, 12 years. 12 years. What happened? How you ended up here? You seem like a good person. I got angry one day. Didn't control the anger for a few seconds, and for the next 12 years he's paying the price of it. O Sini, ya Rasulullah, O Nabi of Allah, give me advice. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la taghdab, don't give in to the dictates of anger. Zidni, ya Rasulullah, O Nabi of Allah, give me more advice. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam again, la taghdab. Third time, la taghdab. Fourth time, la taghdab. Fifth time, la taghdab. Sixth time, la taghdab. 7 times he asked this question, give me special advice. 7 times Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't give in to anger. Today we look at the home, husbands are lashing out at wives, wives are lashing out at husbands. Homes are being broken, children are being lashed out at. This is not the culture of Islam. This is not what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advocated. Muslim is one who controls his anger. Laysa shadidu bi surah. He said the strong man amongst you is not the one who pumps irons or has a strong physique. Innama shadid alladhi yamliku nafsahu indal ghadab. He said the strong person amongst you is he who at the time of anger will control his anger. Whether it comes to your staff or people who are working for you or your children or your wives in your home, whoever. In any case, I digressed. Harun Rashid got angry, talak, talak, talak. And then, what normally happens, when you do something at the time of anger, wallah, my respected brothers, after that the consequences are only regret. So straight away he regretted. Like a lot of times, even today, person becomes angry, then he fires 3 bullets, and then, mashallah, a muwahid, person who advocated Tawheed his whole life, suddenly wants to believe in the Trinity. He wants to make 3 into 1. 3 is 3, is not 1. Then they look for a mufti. I said it when I was angry, I didn't mean it. I was angry. As if somebody gives talaq when he's not angry. And when you can't find a mufti that will give a fatwa in your favor to raise bimaris, they look for a grand mufti. Give a grand and get a fatwa. It's mentioned one latifa, there was one person like that. He went to the mufti, said, talak, 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 show me some way. Eventually he found a grand mufti. The person said, don't worry, talak didn't fall. So he said, how come? So he said, you know, when you said talak, you didn't say the qaf. You said kaf, so it didn't fall. So when the actual mufti heard about it, he said, tell him his nikah didn't take place also, because there too, it's qabil tuha. So nevertheless, at that time they were not like that. If by daybreak you are in the kingdom of Harun, three talaqs. So he gathers the ulama, is there any hal, any way out of this? So they said, fastest mode of transport at that time was not a Concorde jet. It was a camel, a horse. And that animal can't cover three continents in one night. So they said, there's no hal. By daybreak tomorrow, if she's in your kingdom, three talaqs will fall. So then Harun Rashid asked, is there any of Imam Abu Hanifa's students around? He also had heard, that time Imam Sahib had passed away, but he had heard of the intelligence and understanding that Allah had blessed him with. So he said, is there any of his students? So they said, yes, there is one. Yaqub, in other words, Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi. So he said, send for him. That time, father is a, used to wash clothing for a living, simple person, peasant background. Sends for him. And he says, I told my wife, if by daybreak tomorrow you are in the kingdom of Harun, three talaqs, is there any hal? Without hesitation, instantly, Imam Yusuf Ahmad says, yes. The ulama that are there are shocked. What is this man saying? So he said, what is the hal? He said, tell your wife to spend the night in the masjid, so that at daybreak, she is in the masjid, the three talaqs will not fall, because the masjid is not part of the kingdom of Harun Rashid. So they looked at him, that what is the, where's the dalil? He read the verse of the Quran, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. Masjid belongs to Allah. Masjid doesn't belong to any king or any ruler. Just to complete that incident, Harun Rashid became so elated. There and then he stipulated 100,000 dinar hadiya for Imam Yusuf. And he appointed him as Qadiul Qudat, chief justice of the courts of the Banu Umayyad dynasty. So that which Allah had put on the heart of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he told his mother, don't become concerned, Allah will elevate your son. Tomorrow he will be, Allah will bless him with wealth. It doesn't matter if he will serve Allah's deen. Nevertheless, أَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. Masjids belong to Allah. بُيُوتِ فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَسَاجِدِ. Hadith Qudsi, Rasulullah s.a.w. said, my houses, my, Allah says, my houses on this earth are the masjids. Inna awwala bayt, when Quran speaks of Kaabatullah, the word bayt is used, the first house. This hadith, buyuti, houses, in other words, masajid. Buyuti fil ardil masajid. Ummaruha zuwaruha. Those who will make the masjid abad are the guests of the masjid. Fatuba. Fatuba liman tatahhara fi baytihi. Allah's Rasul says that Allah says, Mubarak, glad tidings, to those who will make wudu at home. And then logically, what it should have been. Thumma kharaja ila al-masjid, thumma dhahaba ila al-masjid, thumma ata ila al-masjid, thumma jaa ila al-masjid, thumma masha ila al-masjid. Any of those things it could have been. Make wudu at home, then leave for the masjid, go to the masjid, proceed to the masjid, walk to the masjid. Yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't say that. He says that Allah says, Mubarak and glad tidings to the one who makes wudu at home. Thumma zarani, then he comes to visit me. In other words, he comes to visit his Allah. فَحَقٌ عَلَى الْمَزُورِ أَنْ يُكْرِمَ زَائِرَهُ. Haqq, Allah says, I have ordained it upon myself that I will honor the one who visits me. I will make his ikram. مَنْ صَلَّى الصُّبْحَ فِي جَمَاعَةٍ فَهُوَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ. Rasulullah said that ummati of mine who will frequent the masjid at the time of Fajr, make his salah with Fajr Jamaat, he is in the direct protection of Allah. Today, cheaper than water has become the blood of the ummah. There is carnage in every direction. We're looking for solutions. One solution. Man salla subha fi jama'atin. This is referring singular. What is the collective meaning? If collectively the majma of Fajr and the majma of Jummah is the same, fahuwa fi zimmatillah, this ummah will be in the zimma and protection of Allah. Then in that hadith it is mentioned that anyone that will then target this ummah is targeting Allah. This link and association with the masjid. Man alif al masjid alifahullah. Man alif al masjid alifahullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ajib, who doesn't want this? Everyone wants to be the beloved of Allah. Why? Because love has certain connotations with it. When you are the chosen, when you are the selected, when you are the beloved, sometimes you create a nisbat with someone. You know what? I belong to that person's club. Or I belong to that person's group. Or I belong to that person's society. So what is the connotation? That if you decide to oppose me, you're opposing that person. So man alif al masjid, you want to become, you want to belong to you want to be Allah's people. You want to be the chosen of Allah. You want to be the beloved of Allah. You want to be in the protection of Allah. Rasulullah said, love the masjid. The one who loves the masjid, Allah loves him. The one who attaches himself to the masjid, Allah will give him shade underneath his arsh on a day when there will be no shade besides the shade of Allah's arsh. إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله فعسى أولئك أن يكونوا من المهتدين. What promises Allah makes in the Quran? And this is Quran. Make the masjid abad. Become the ummarul masjid. Become a person of the masjid. What Quran promises? Iman. This is a proof of iman. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَعْتَادُ الْمَسْجِدْ فَشَدُوا لَهُ بِالْإِمَانِ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you see a person making masjid abad, then bear witness he has iman. فَشَدُوا لَهُ بِالْإِمَانِ. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He will fear no one but Allah. فَعَسَى أُولَٰئِكَ أَنْ يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. Allah says, hidayat is in this. This is something that Allah has opened on the hearts of our elders. That the solution to the problems that is facing the ummah today is this ummah has to come back to the masjid. The masjid has to take the position in our lives like Masjid an-Nabawi in the time of Sahaba. Even this azan we hear in Makkah, 1 hour before Fajr azan. They're keeping alive one sunnah. It's become very famous amongst the Muslims of Indo-Pak region. They say tahajjud azan. Sometimes person in a deep sleep, he waits for the muazzin to read. Hayya al-falah, hayya al-falah. If he doesn't hear salatu khairu min an-no, carries on sleeping. They say that's tahajjud azan. There's no azan for tahajjud. There's no azan for tahajjud. What was this azan? Comes in the riwayat that when this azan used to be given, the sahaba that had spent the first portion of the night in the masjid would go home. And the sahaba that were at home would come to the masjid. So in this is inference what? That the entire night, turn by turn, sahaba used to keep the masjid abad. Such a link was created with the masjid. Our elders give this example. They say that somebody knocks on the door today of a person's house. You open the door. The wife opens the door. Where is so and so? No, he's not at home. Where is he? Or he's gone to the marketplace. Or he's gone job. When will he come? Allah knows best. He's gone work. Don't expect him back very quickly. Maybe some new deal, buy one parcel in a neighboring city. Might have to quickly catch one plane, one flight, go somewhere. I don't know when he'll come. Or if you ask the question, where's he? Gone masjid. Now don't worry, just wait, he'll be here just now, he'll come back just now. Don't worry. They say, turn the clock back 14 centuries, that time. Knock at the home of Medina, by where's he? He's gone to the marketplace, he'll come back just now. One person says, I went to Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and I told him I want to sit in your company. He says, no, I'm going to the marketplace. So he says, why are you going to the marketplace? You don't do any business. He says, by just going to the marketplace, I get an opportunity to make salam and bring alive the sunnah of Rasulullah. Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say, Suqul muslimina ka masajidihim. Such a link was created with the masjid. The fikr of the masjid, sahaba took it from the masjid to the marketplace. So he said, the bazaars of Medina have become like masjids. So that time you knock on the door, where is he? He's gone to the marketplace, be back right now. And if the answer came, he's gone to the masjid, when will he be back? Some jamaat may be dispatched in the path of Allah. There may be some taqaza of deen. I have no idea when he'll come back. In other words, the ummah has upended, turned it upside down. The analogy is given that a mu'min in the masjid is like a fish in the water. And a munafiq in the masjid is like a bird in the cage. Today, those that are in the masjid are waiting for the first chance to leave the masjid. Whereas that hadith shade underneath Allah's arsh, قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ مُعَلَّقٌ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say he's physically in the masjid, no. He said, قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ His heart will be revolving around the masjid. When he's at home, his heart is in the masjid. When he's in the marketplace, his heart is in the masjid. In other words, his life revolves around the fikr of masjid. And this is what this five amal that are given to us, to bring this in our lives. If it's not taken longer than, but just I'll terminate on two ahadith. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, Inna lil masjidi awtada. Inna lil masjidi awtada. He said, in my ummat, there will be some people, this word awtad is the plural of watad. Watad means a peg. When you putting up a tent, they take a peg and they knock it, drill it into the ground. Harder it's there, that entire structure is standing on the strength of that peg. So Rasulullah said, in my ummah, there will be some people who will become the pegs of the masjid. In other words, to take them out, you'll have to physically pull them out. What is their maqam? Those who understand Arabic, the nuances of this, what should have been the word in the hadith? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-Malaikatu Julasa'uhu. Technically, grammatically, that expression is incorrect. Supposed to be, Hum Julasa'ul Malaika. Inna lil masjidi awtada, Hum Julasa'ul Malaika. But it comes in the hadith, Al-Malaikatu Julasa'uhu. Now what does this mean? In layman's terms, sometimes you hear some sheikh, some pious person, some buzurg has come. So what the people say, let us go and sit in his sohbat. Why? By sitting in the sohbat of the pious will benefit. So this is what al-malaikatu julasa'uhu means. The inference is, the malaika of Allah say to one another, let us go and sit in the company of this person. He didn't say hum julasa'ul malaika. They are in the company of the malaika. No. He said al-malaikatu julasa'uhu. Malaika will want to sit in their company. In ghabu iftaqaduhum. If he's missing from the masjid, Malaika will go and look for him. In kanu fi hajatin a'anuhum. Obviously, he's got necessities. So he goes to do some work. Rasulullah said, such is the connection between him and Allah's Malaika. They will go to help him in his work so that he can come back quickly to the masjid. In maridu aduhum. He said if he becomes sick, the malaika of Allah go to visit him. Inna lil masjidi awtada. Al masjidu baytu kulli taqi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the masjid, ajeeb word, in Quran, in hadith also. In Arabic terminology, the word bayt is referred to as maskan. House is maskan. Maskan, the root word is sakana, seen, kaf, nan, noon. In other words, place of sukoon, of sakina, of itminan, of your heart being at rest. In other words, you are in your actual place. Human beings are wired like that. Move them into a strange environment, what they're not used to, straight away they become parishan. And what creates ease and afiat for him when he comes back into his maskan, his place of sukoon. That's why when you travel, even though you may be traveling first class or five star, still, after a while, the musafir wants to come home. Because house is maskan. It's your place of sukoon, of security, of protection, of ease, of afiat. So that is what the connotation of the word bayt, house, has. In Quran, in hadith, whenever Allah and His Rasul refer to masjid, the same word is used, bayt. Inna awwala bayt al-masjidu buyutullah. In other words, the connotation is the place of sukoon and itminan and connection where you will find my ummati is the masjid. So Rasulullah said, Al-masjidu baytu kulli taqi. And on this I'll terminate. He said, the masjid is the house of every person of taqwa. Wa takaffal Allah. And what will Allah give? He doesn't just say, Allah will give you this. Nabi says, takaffal Allah. Takaffal Allah. What is takaffal Allah? Allah becomes your kafil. In other words, on the day of judgment, if you didn't get this, you can demand it from Allah. Takaffal Allah. Allah takes it upon himself. Allah becomes your kafil. Liman kana al-masjidu baytahu, for the one who will make the masjid his bayt. Birrohi wal-rahma wal-jiwazi al-sirat ila ridwanillah wa ila al-jannah. Five things are mentioned. That Allah is your kafil. Allah guarantees you five things if you will make the masjid your bayt. Roh, one translation of this is Allah's pleasure, etc. There's a deeper connotation. Roh, today most people are suffering from what? Depression. This is one bimari and sickness that medicine cannot treat. Roh, in other words, Allah will give you sukoon, itminan, ease, peace in the heart. That's one explanation. Rahma, Allah becomes your kafil, He will drown you in His mercy. Third thing, Allah guarantees you will cross the sirat with the speed of lightning. Allah takes it upon Himself, He will transport you across the sirat. Fourth thing, Allah is your kafil of His ridwan, you will be in the pleasure of Allah. And the fifth thing, guaranteed, Allah will give you jannat. Allah will give you jannat, guaranteed, if you will make the masjid your bayt. So this encouragement, my respected brothers, many of us, unfortunately, we have this mindset, we come out in the path of Allah, then we are in the masjid. We go back to what we were doing before. We haven't understood the object why we came out in the path of Allah. We came out in the path of Allah. This is just a mashq and a training of what we are supposed to be doing at home. Sahaba's lives revolved around the masjid, not out of Medina, in Medina. These a'mal, this daily mashwara, daily ta'lim, daily 2.5 hours up to 8 hours. Today it seems like one mountain. To us. Why? Because the ummah shifted so far away from Qarni Ula. But this is a mechanism a ladder, a stepping stone, a medium that Allah has opened upon the hearts of our elders, how gradually to bring the ummah that is gone away from the masjid back to the masjid. Then the help of Allah. Then the turning of the tides of the ummah. Then barakat, thamarat. What Allah has promised. If the ummah will come back to the masjid. Sab karenge inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanallah.